This episode of Sessionable is brought to you by Dave's Travel and Events Group, who offer awesome beer-related experiences, including brewery tours, walking tours, and events packages. They also own and operate Sydney Beer Week, Sydney's biggest and best celebration of beer, running from the 20th to the 29th of October. It's bound to be another great festival this year, with events ranging from a table tennis competition at the Welcome to, of course, Sessionable's own live podcast at the Royal Albert on the night of Monday the 23rd. For the full program, hit up sydneybeerweek.com.au, and for more info on Dave's, check out daves.com.au. All right, on with the show. Sessionable. Welcome everyone to Sessionable. I'm sitting here with a very special guest, Sam from Willie Smith's Cidery.
G'day, Adrian. How are you? All right?
I'm well, thanks.
That's good. Thanks for having me.
No worries. First cider guest.
I was going to ask.
On the podcast.
Am I the first cider, so that's pretty exciting, definitely.
Yeah. Why don't we start by talking about Willie Smith's itself and where you guys are based, how you guys got started, all that jazz.
Yeah, sure. So we're based in the Huon Valley in Tasmania, so at a fourth generation apple farm, so 30 minutes south of Hobart for people who aren't aware of their Tasmanian geography. Nice and short to Hobart, but you know, it's still 40 k's, so it's a fair drive. You know, it's just we don't have many traffic lights on the way down from Hobart. And so, yeah, you know, it's a 115-acre orchard, you know, at the top of the Huon Valley, really. And yeah, it's Australia's kind of first certified organic cidery and probably largest organic orchard in Australia as well. So
yeah, wow.
And the Smith family have been farming there since 1888.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, Andrew is my business partner with cider.
Yep.
And he's a fourth generation Smith to farm there now. So yeah.
Yeah, awesome. So you started the cidery with Andrew?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. So I'm actually a craft beer lover myself.
Okay.
So you know, love a good beer and love a good beer that tastes even better. And you know, I was like looking around thinking what could we do, because I come from a drinks background. I was working at Diageo before this.
Okay.
And just thought there was already plenty of great craft beers out there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see there's much new or interesting to do, but I really, you know, had been drinking a bit of French cider and thought there's a real opportunity to do something different in Australia with in the cider space. So Andrew and I met probably about 7 years ago now, I guess.
Okay.
And we launched on November the 18th, 5 years ago, almost 5 years ago now. So
yeah, wow.
Yeah, so
cool.
It's feels like a lifetime ago. Lots happened since that time, but it's been a fun journey, and we're still having fun, still coming up with a lot of new stuff, and you know, it's new stuff that excites me, I suppose, and that's lucky because it seems everyone else likes new stuff as well to drink, because no one wants to drink the same old, same old.
Yeah, cool.
And speaking of new stuff,
yeah. So what are we drinking here today?
I've got our very new hot off the what do you call it? Hot out of the bright tank. Willie Smith Traditional. So it was a few years back, well, probably in 2012, actually, we first started planting and grafting cider apples when we realized that the real way to go and do something really interesting and amazing with cider is to get purpose-grown fruit. So these apples we're calling cider apples are apples you can't eat. You would never find them on a supermarket shelf. Too bitter, too much tannin, too much funky character going on, or too dusty, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That leaves a lot of interesting residual flavors and characters in it when you ferment them. So
these are like the type of apples that were traditionally in cider way back when?
Yeah,
back in England,
right,
and Europe and all that?
Well, if you think about wine, for instance, you don't make wine out of the grapes we eat. And at the moment, I mean, let's forget about the 85% of the Australian market that is made from imported Chinese concentrate that,
yep,
and added sugar and water and is just like Alcopop like.
Yeah,
this is for the you know, crafty end of the ciders is you know, where we reckon there's about 10 to 15% of the market is made using, you know, fresh Australian apples.
Yep.
But then beyond that is this market of cider apples, and we think that's the kind of the pinnacle of cider and where we want to take the market to, I guess.
Yeah.
So we set about, we have a vision, a dream to take cider apples to the wider Australian market and educate people on what, you know, what really good quality cider can be, which will in turn allow us to compete on a global scale, I suppose, when it comes to cider. So that's exciting. But yeah, this is Willie Smith's traditional. It's a blend of cider apples and eating apples. So okay. About one third cider apples, about two thirds eating apples.
Okay.
But you can see the beautiful rich color that comes from it, and you can obviously get a lot of different flavors coming out of it just with the 30%, just with the one third cider apples in this already. So
yeah, it looks great. It's nice and cloudy. Has a bit of tang to it. It's not super sweet.
And then you can get a little bit of tannin coming through, tannin profile on the back palate. And for me, that's really important. You know, dries it out nicely, means you can keep drinking, means none of the sugars build, and it just keeps it nice and clean, I suppose, and refreshing. So,
yeah.
We're really happy with this, really proud. We've just launched, we're launching the bottles next week into 750 mils.
Nice one.
And the long-term aim is to make this part of our core range. I mean, it's not something...
It's great.
We've got enough volume to do at the moment. But, yeah. You know, we're getting it out to about 30 venues on tap around Australia this time around.
Yeah.
And you know, the 750s will be in good leading bottle stores in the next month or so too. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
So with... As you kind of increase your yield of the cider apples, do you ever plan to make one completely out of cider apples?
Yeah, no, we've actually been doing that for the last few years.
Okay.
And just in 750ml bottles.
Yeah.
We have put a few kegs together of it, but generally we've had such limited volume, you know,
it
disappears quite quick in keg. But yeah, so we've won Best Cider in Australia the last 2 years, actually, so... 2 years ago was with our 18 varieties, so 18 different varieties of cider apples.
Oh, okay, yep.
Yeah, and last year was our French blend, so I think that had around about, I don't know, somewhere about mid-teens of cider apples in that one, and all just French varieties of cider apples. So
yeah, wow.
And we had the British blend, I think it was on tap at the Royal Albert here as well, actually, and so yeah, that was, you know, a little bit sharper, a little bit more acid coming through, which...
I really enjoyed that one, yeah.
Means it... drinks better out of a pint. You know, the French one's a bit more of a delicate one, so more of a wine glass based. And we're really hoping to do a French blend again this year, but some of the ferments didn't go through as we would have wanted.
Right.
And so we've gone with 23 varieties for this year. So they'll be coming out in time for the Australian Cider Awards in October.
Yep.
Obviously, we'll be entering traditional in as well, which will sit in the kind of medium category in the traditional style, because in the Cider Australia Awards, there is New World, which is generally made using, you know, eating fruit, culinary fruit.
Yep.
And then you kind of got the traditional category using cider apples. So we'll enter that into the traditional category. And, you know, we're hoping for big things there and would love to three-peat it. But no one's ever won it twice before, let alone three times in a row. So
seems like a good challenge.
It's a good challenge to ask, definitely. We're not counting our chickens by any stretch.
So your flagship cider, the original
Willie Smith's organic.
Organic, sorry.
Yeah. Everyone calls it original though, yeah. So, yeah, absolutely.
So that's made from eating apples, but it's still not super sweet, especially compared to a lot of the kind of commercial ciders in the market. How do people kind of respond to that, I guess, lack of artificial sweetness in your ciders?
Well, we find that people respond to it pretty well. I guess you've served it a few times. And hopefully people respond to it pretty well. I think the market is people looking for a more authentic product, people looking for something a little bit more different. What we've done with the organic is try and build in as much body and complexity as we can. So, you know, we do a secondary ferment to it, a malolactic ferment. We give it, you know, a couple of months aging as well. We give it a bit of oak aging as well. And it's unfiltered, obviously, as well. So all of those things help build more character back into it. Mm. You know, I think we had Bill Bradshaw, you know, a famous cider writer over and judge for the Australian Cider Awards last year, and he was blown away by the quality of ciders we were making in Australia, because when you're using cider apples, it's a lot easier to make good cider, really.
Okay.
And he was really blown away on the quality of ciders that we had in Australia. Because you have to work a lot harder to make good cider with eating apples, really. So,
okay.
We've worked really hard to kind of build a more depth and complexity to it. And we find, you know, once people try it, you know, there's a lot of people who still want sweet, but there's a lot of people who are looking for an alternative there. And so, you know, once our goal is to get as many people to try the cider as we can, because once we do that, we find they generally come back, you know. And I think it's, you know, testament to, you know, how we work with customers, I suppose, too, where the customers who put it on tap, you know, and it's a bit more of a premium product, and so there's initially a bit of pushback. But once they put it on tap, once some of their customers and patrons try it, generally stays on tap. You know, people are really happy with it. So so I guess that's testament. I mean, hopefully, the growth is presumably testament to the fact people are liking it too. So
yeah, I mean, yeah. I get a lot of positive feedback whenever I serve it. Every once in a while, somebody brings it back and says, is it meant to taste like that? Because they're not used to, you know, something that's not super sweet. And it's still pretty sweet, but it's definitely not up there with, like, the, you know, your recorder legs or whatever.
Oh, yeah, it's a fair way from that one, definitely. Yeah. We do have Willie Smith Bone Dry, obviously, which has zero residual sugar, but that
one of my faves.
It's a bit of a challenge to put that one on tap. You have to know you're inside a Heartland to be able to put that on tap, because most people are expecting some level of sweetness coming through their cider, and the Bone Dry has absolutely none. It's got a huge cult passionate following for people who like it. And
I think I'm in like a handful of people that I know personally that love it, and then nobody else does because it's way too dry.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd rather make something that people can get really excited by than, you know, just try and add as much sugar and sweetness to it and you know, try and mask every flavor but with the sugar, I suppose, too. So, you know, we're pretty happy to have that as a kind of marker at the end of our portfolio and maybe the end of the cider category in Australia. So this is this is what proper dry is like.
Yeah.
Because the amount of people who at festivals and events go, I like a dry cider. And you go, are you sure? And you can kind of spot them whether they really like dry or not. And you give it to them and they're like, whoa, not that dry. Because you know, Recorder League have a dry cider now too, apparently. So
yeah, I remember having the Bone Dry on tap, and whenever somebody asks for a dry cider, I give them a taste first just to make sure. And most of the time, that wasn't what they're after.
No, that's pretty much how it goes.
How do you get it so dry? Do you just let it ferment out the whole way? You don't do anything special with it? You just wait?
No, it's just, just wait. Yeah, definitely just let it go all the way for sure. And until there is literally zero residual sugar.
Nice.
One of the things we've been able to do better to improve it from when we started was we used to, you know, do it all from, you know, take it all from the same tank, but now we're doing a lot more blending with all of our ciders these days.
Yep.
So that we actually might have a few different tanks at a few different stages, and you can kind of you know, blend it to get more consistency of flavor profile and make sure you got, you know, all the bits you want in there, I suppose, when it comes to that. So that's certainly helped improve the Bone Dry and all our ciders, I guess.
Yeah, great.
And helped us get a bit more consistency in terms of what we're looking for in flavor profile.
Awesome. Yeah. So moving on from cider, you have recently started a distillery as well, making apple brandy.
That's right, yep. No, I fell in love with Calvados when I was traveling around France, you know, 5 years ago or something, and came back and convinced Smithy to put a deposit on a still, which is probably the silliest thing we've ever done, but thankfully we used a guy called Peter Bailey down in Tasmania who builds a lot of stills in Australia. And Archie Rose was just starting up, and they had a bucket load of cash and came in and got him to build 5 stills or something. So we were put to the back of the line, which is fine by us because we had no idea how we're going to pay for it or what we're going to do with it at that stage. But now we've got it at the back of the apple shed, which is our cellar door down in the Huon Valley, and putting our cider in there and trying to get as many barrels as we can down of apple brandy. It's called Charles Oates, which is you know, a tip of the hat to Willie Smith's father in law, and I guess one of the founding fathers of the Huon Valley. Obviously, the indigenous population, Aboriginal population's been there a hell of a lot longer, but but certainly in terms of the Australian settlement of the Huon Valley, he was one of the leaders.
Yep.
So we distilled, got Redlands Estate to distill some for us probably about 4 years ago. And so we've just launched our first brandy, or in April we did actually. Really delicious. It was a musket barrel aged cider. We've been testing musket barrel, sherry barrel, Tokay barrel. We've actually got some port barrels down now as well.
Nice.
Just to see what different barrels do to the brandy.
Different flavors.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. we're really excited by, I mean, the Muscat's been amazing, but we're also really excited by the Sherry, which will be coming out probably next year.
Yeah, cool.
It's a bit more of a match with the delicate flavors of the cider as well. You know, Sherry, the Muscat and Tokay can be quite overpowering. Delicious, but, you know, probably a better blend of the apple so far, we're thinking, with the Sherry. So that's been, you know, interesting. We've got an Irish distiller working now, and he's, you know, just trying to put down as many barrels as we can.
Yeah, cool.
And it just gives the apple shed some production elements going. And you know, we've been working through some of our cider that we might not have wanted to put to market, and putting that in the still too. So still really telling that orchard to bottle story. It's just that it goes through, after fermentation, it goes through the still twice and then sits in a barrel for a while before it comes out into a bottle. So a nice little add-on, I think. But bloody hell, I'm getting sick of waiting.
Yeah, I guess that's the difference between distilling and fermenting.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, we've been waiting with these cider apples too, you know. We put our first ones in
true.
In 2012, and they're only really now just coming to you know, like grapevines, really, that it takes a long time for them to grow and mature. It's 5 years before you're getting any kind of real crop from them if you're planting them, and 7 years till mature. So
yeah, wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long bloody time to have invested that time and money and effort into that to not really get anything for that long, you know. So
So the spirits, you can find them the same places that you can find your cider?
Not really, not, no, in fact, no, really. But you can get them online.
Okay,
on
cool.
willysmiths.com.au. But we have got such a small amount of the apple brandy, we're keeping it to the apple shed as a cellar door
for
the time being. We have launched Apple Blanco, which is our unaged apple spirit, so eau de vie, really.
Mm-hmm.
That is just getting out in Tassie at the moment. We're working with the best cocktail bars in Hobart. And, you know, we've got, like, at the Mona Bar, the Void Bar, they're getting through it pretty well. The Glass House, which is a new bar right there on the harbour, and Robbie Brown's in Kingston. So
yeah, cool.
Getting on the cocktail menus there, and you know, we'll be bringing it up to the mainland when we do our master classes with trade in October. So expect to see a bit more of that about, but it will be a couple more years till you're seeing much of the brandy about, I'd say.
It's still very limited at the moment.
Very, very limited, absolutely.
Cool.
We've kind of got like 2 barrels a year or something.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
So Willie Smith's been around for about 5 years now. How have you seen the cider scene develop in Australia in those 5 years?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we started, it was probably, well, the market was going pretty crazy, I suppose. It was, you know, talking about 20%, 40% growth in cider off a small base, obviously. Really seeing that start to come back and flatten out. I think last year cider was still the fastest growing alcohol category, although Australian craft beer would have outstripped it that for sure in percentage growth.
Okay.
But they don't kind of call that its own category at this stage. But
right.
So it's starting to tail off. But I think what we've found is, you know, Record League started to bring people into the category, which was, we always got to thank them for that, of course. and you know, I'm always a big believer that, you know, you get started in a category somehow, usually through an immature way, and then as you get interested in it, you spend more time consuming it, thinking about it, enjoying it. You want to have different experiences. So,
yeah.
You know, I think we're now just starting to get to the point where we're offering enough different and unique experiences to say we've got a real craft cider category here. I mean, the Australian Cider Awards last year was next level in terms of quality and different types of products. A lot more people are putting cider apples into the ground. So we're seeing more and more cider apple varieties come through and cider apple products come through.
Yep.
So all of that's going to be, well, interesting to, you know, the guys and girls listening on the podcast, and going to mean we can really start to have great conversations about what this type of apple does to the cider versus, you know, versus this type of hop, for instance.
I mean,
that's the kind of level we see it getting to. And, you know, we'll be doing more and more single varietal cider releases too, so you can try your Somerset Red Streak next to your Kingston Black, next to your Michelin or your Dabernay, and see what you're getting from each different type of cider apple, really. So, I mean, you know, I think we're a few years off still, but it's really heartening to see the number of producers and the quality of cider improving constantly. And I think the challenge now is to take that to much bigger scale so people can drink great cider more regularly. So,
Do you find that the people in the beer scene or the fans in the craft beer scene have been kind of jumping on board the cider scene as well?
Oh, there's still plenty of people who love to give us a bit of shit about just being juice boys or whatever. Yep. But that being said, I think people are respecting what we're doing. The more they understand what we do and what the story is, and cider is actually good cider, and great cider is not as easy to make as everyone might think.
Yeah.
You know, a few years back, every brewery did a cider, and now I think they're going, well, actually, probably we don't really care about it that much. And
yeah, yeah.
It's a bit of a cynical move for a lot of breweries when they do that these days. It probably means their beers aren't good enough.
Yeah.
So we're starting to see more cider specialists come through, and I think a bit more respect for what we do as an industry. You know, we've always, Cider Australia's always had a great relationship with CBIA or what is now IBA.
Yep.
And we continue to do so, sharing learnings and things. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're kind of, you know, brothers and sisters in arms in a sense. And we pour through the same taps, and we've got the same kind of challenges. But I do think, you know, when we started, it was still seen as a girl's drink probably by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And now people go, well, actually, good cider is worth sitting down and enjoying, spending some time with and pondering and having a good laugh with too. So, yeah.
Sessionable.
Keen to check out the beers of Sydney's northern beaches? Well, good news. Dave's Travel and Events Group now offer a Surrey Hills pickup location for their Northern Exposure Tour. That means that not only will you get a behind-the-scenes look at great breweries like Modus Operandi and Four Pines, but you also won't have to worry about getting there and back, so you can have more than a few sneaky pints. Check out daves.com.au to book your tour today. Okay, back to the show. So how about we move on to some recommendations?
Sure.
You have some ready?
Oh, well, I'll have to make something up, won't I? Definitely. So, yeah.
Let's start with booze recommendations. I think I know what you're going to be recommending.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, if this is, obviously, I'd say everyone should go out there and try some Willie Smith Traditional to see what cider made from cider apples is. It's really quite different and unique.
Yep.
But in terms of other booze recommendations in cider, I would recommend trying to get your hands on some Henry of Harcourt cider.
Okay.
Or some Red Sails cider. Henry of Harcourt, Drew Henry, tragically passed away on the farm earlier this year, which is really, really sad. But he's been a pioneer in this cider apple space, and his Kingston Black is next level. Just, you know, 13% full on. It's really intense. So if you can get your hands on some of that. Clive Crosley, another cider legend in Tasmania around the corner from us, is Red Sails is his brand.
Okay.
He's been making cider for 40 years and goes over to France to learn from them.
I think I've had one of those and it was pretty funky.
Yeah. Oh, it's funky. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's right. So really interesting. And so that's good. I mean, Lobo out of South Australia makes some really interesting stuff too. So, you know, they're just a few names that I would recommend. If you want to try something unique and different and good, obviously.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I'd go and wrap your laughing gear around one of those ones or all three of them if you can.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend a beer that I had recently from Boat Rocker down in Victoria. And it's their Blanc de Blanc, which is their Berliner Weiss.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Just a really nice, dry, little bit sour, easy drinking Berliner Weiss.
They had a pink one of them, did they? They had a pink Berliner Weiss anyway.
Yeah, I think they made a Miss... Miss Pinky?
Miss Pinky, that's the one.
I think that's their kind of flagship Berliner.
Yeah.
And this is just their straight blonde sour.
All right, no worries. We'll keep an eye out for that.
Not super sour, but just very crisp and easy drinking.
Yep. All good.
Do you have a non-beer recommendation?
Well, I'm currently... I've always been a big fan of Sir Alex Ferguson, actually.
Okay.
Despite the fact I'm not a Manchester United fan.
Right.
But I've got a lot of respect for the man. And I was in a bookshop the other day and saw a book called Fergie, and which is his thoughts on leadership. Well, someone getting them out of him, really. A really interesting book, you know, just such an amazing hard life and that he lived, and just the work ethic of the man is the most amazing thing I've ever read and ever heard about. So
okay,
if you want to be good in your field, Fergie just seems the secret in his workbook is hard work and discipline. But yeah,
is it kind of like an autobiography / self help book or something?
Oh, it's just his musings on leadership, I think. So okay. I don't think it's self help or autobiography either. It's just, you know, what he reckons,
okay,
basically.
Sure.
So yeah, and so it's kind of interesting. Yeah, definitely. So
yeah, sweet. I'm gonna recommend a bit of a throwback. Recently re-listened to Ride the Lightning by Metallica for the first time in forever.
Nice.
It is a fucking cracking album.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about recommending something newer, but that's just been in my playlist for a while, for the last few weeks. So,
well, if we're going to recommend music, I think I pulled out an old school Smashing Pumpkins, Pisces Iscariot. It was a very, I didn't really get widely released or widely launched,
yeah, okay,
but obviously with the world of iTunes and Apple Music and all that these days, you can find it. But yeah, Pisces Iscariot is, I reckon, bloody amazing album too.
Great. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up there. Thanks for joining us, Sam.
Well, thanks for having me. Very, very excited to be the first cider person, and thanks for including cider in your podcast.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll get more cider and other booze, non-beer booze, on the podcast soon. But yeah, it's great to start off with Willie Smith's a favorite of a lot of ours on the podcast. So yeah, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers.